Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Chulin Daf Lamed Vav. We begin at the Tanur Rabbanan, four lines off the top of the Amud. So this continues our discussion regarding Hechsher. As we learned yesterday, blood, dam, is one of those seven primary liquids which have the ability to be machshir food for tuma, which means to say you have fruit, vegetables, you have meat, unless they come into contact with liquid, only that completes the process, only that makes it into true complete food. In fact, Rashi in Chumash has a lashon, he says the hechsher, what it does is lo yuchshar v'nitkan likoreis oichal likabal tuma. This is Rashi in Perakid Aleph, Pasuk Lamed Zayin Vayikru. The Pasuk is teaching that only by coming into contact with food, with liquid, only by getting wet, regarding tuma, regarding the ability to be mekabel tuma, only that completes the food making process. It makes it into full, it constitutes oichel with respect to be mekabel tuma. Okay, so as we mentioned, dam has that ability, provided it's the proper dam, the dam that expresses the life force of the animal. Just a little blood out of a wound does not qualify. Blood of a dead animal does not qualify. Dam chalalim does. Dam of a killed animal is being killed. And likewise, according to the Shita of Tanakama, which is going to be today's opinion as well, dam of a shechita, the act of shechita, also has that ability to be machshir for a tumah. Tana Rabbana. Okay, so hashoichet. The fellow is doing shechita. The hittes or vinitas dam, some of the blood sprayed aladlas on the pumpkin nearby. What happens to that pumpkin? So you would presume we're talking about dam shechita. So of course it's going to be machshir lekabel tuma. It's going to make that pumpkin susceptible to tuma, right? Which is the shita of the Tanakama, the post of Reb Shimon, who told us yesterday a dam of shechita is not going to be machshir. Okay, so that's the case. Rabbi Eimer Huchshar, according to Rabbi, yeah, hechsher took place because that blood is dam shechita, which is machshir. Rabbi Chia Eimer Toilin, according to Rabbi Chia, you leave it hanging. It's a pending situation, which will be explained coming up in the Gemara. Okay, so that's Rabbi versus Rabbi Chia. I'm Rabbi Yeshia. Okay, let's figure this out. Mi'achashe Rabbi Eimer Huchshar. Once Rabbi says yes, Huchshar. Rabbi Chia Eimer, he says we're not sure, Toilin. Oh no, so who should we rely on? Oh no, minismech. Oh boy, minismech al divrei Rabbi Shimon. We'll go through Rabbi Shimon, who would tell us that the dam of shechita is not going to be machshir at all. Shoy Rav Shimon Eimer, because according to Rav Shimon, shechita, the act of shechita, which transforms, which converts the animal into edible flesh, that is a real food maker, machsheris. That accomplishes hechsher. That elevates it into food status for tuma as well. V'loy dam, but blood doesn't have that ability. Not the dam of shechita. And Rashi explains, well, what did he mean to say? He meant like this, because since on the one side you have Rebbe saying, yes, Hechsher, on the other side you have Rabbi Chia who says, well, not really. And then you have Rabbi Shimon, who clearly says that Dam of Shkita does not work. So it's like two against one. Yachid b'makim shnayim. A single opinion versus two, we follow the consensus, we follow the majority. And the Gemara explains exactly what we're talking about. Meaning, what's the case here? What's the what are the considerations of this machlekes? Again, we had a shechita going on, some blood sprinkled on the pumpkin. Rabbi says, hechsher. Rabbi Chia says, we're not sure. I'm not papa. Listen to this machlekes. Listen to this explanation in the machlekes. Hakol moedim, all would agree, hecha de'isei ladam, mitchil avatzoif. If the blood was present on that pumpkin all the way to the end of the shechita. Shechita takes 20 seconds, the blood sprinkled at the beginning, and it stayed there until the end of the shechita. It was present while the shechita was concluded. There's no question. That blood qualifies as a machshir. It's considered dam of shechita because it was there, it was present during the conclusion of the shechita. So it is labeled dam shechita. It is part of the dam shechita. It is machshir. All agree that it's machshir because we're going like the opinion. Dam of shechita is machshir. This qualifies. So what's the machlekes about? The blood that sprayed onto the fruit was wiped off midway during that shechita bein simen l'simen. Okay, so you cut through a little bit, blood sprayed, and you quickly wiped it off the fruit, clean it up, and then he finished the shechita. Continued with the next tube. So the blood was just present during the beginning of the shechita, and then it was gone. That is subject to machlekes. Rabbi Sava, Rabbi holds, that's enough. If you recall, we had this discussion way back. What is considered? Which part of the cutting process is considered the act of shechita? Is it a continuous process from start to finish? So the shechita starts when he starts cutting and continues on till the end. In which case, this blood that was present on the pumpkin at the beginning of the shechita qualifies as dam shechita. Or shechita perhaps only kicks in at the very end of that cut. That's when it's considered shechita. Now, when this blood was gone, was erased. By the time the shechita was actually applied, then this dam does not qualify as dam shechita. Pretty wondrous concept. The same blood, right? But if it wasn't present on the fruit, on the vegetable, at the moment that shechita actually got activated, it doesn't qualify as dam shechita. It's not machshir. Okay, so again, Rebbe holds it's okay. Rebbe Savar, Yeshna l'shchita metchilu atzoif shchita. Start at the beginning all the way to the end of the cut. It's an ongoing, continuous process. V'haydam shchitu. So this blood that's sprayed at the beginning is called dam shchita because it came from an act of shchita, which began at the very beginning of the cut. Rebbe Chia, v'haydam shchitu, Rebbe Chia Savar. He holds, we're not sure. He says, Eina l'shchita l'basoif. No. He holds like the other opinion. Shchita only happens at the very end of that cut. So this blood that was only present at the beginning of shechita doesn't qualify. There was no shechita yet at that point. It's just a blood from a wound. So what does he mean when he says we're not sure? He says toilin. What does toilin mean? Toilin sounds like we're not sure. It's pending. Umay toilin. What does that mean? Toilin. Toilin adama gma shechita. Toilin means it depends. Is a girsa toli. It really depends. If it lasted to the end of the shechita, we wait and see what happened at the end of the shechita. That's what it means. It depends. If the blood was present, was there at the end of the shechita, so now that blood also sort of relates to the act of shechita and it qualifies. Then it's a machshir v'loy, but otherwise, if it's gone by the time shechita came onto the scene, loy machshir, it's not going to be machshir. Okay, so this machlekes, Rebbe and Rebbe Chia, really hinges on a previously discussed machlekes regarding the moment of shechita. Now Rebbe Oshia concluded. He says, look, we're going to adopt Rebbe Chia, because it's in line with Rabbi Shimon, so it's two against one. Now, what's the connection? Umay boyu v'nis mechadir Rabbi Shimon. He says, we're going to rely on Rabbi Shimon, who says that dam of shechita doesn't have this power at all. So he's on a different track altogether. What's the connection to our discussion? That's the Gemara's kasha. Rabbi Shimon loy machshir. It never is machshir, according to Rabbi Shimon. He's on a different track. Rabbi Chia, however, machshir v'nisganeach. You'll be machshir. Rabbi Chia never took issue in concept. He agrees in principle that dam of shechita is machshir. He just says that it has to be blood of shechita, not removed before shechita happens. So how could you combine these two opinions and sort of make them into consensus and two against one? Says the Gemara, "Binskaneach miu ashvul hadadi." But nevertheless, in this very specific circumstance where the blood was wiped away mid shechita, Rabbi Chiya holds there's no hechsher because blood was gone before Shkita kicked in, and Rabbi Shimon also holds there's no hechsher for a different reason, because blood of Shkita altogether is not machsher. But in any event, in this specific case, in this scenario, you have two opinions in line with each other to the extent that they both hold that there's no hechsher, versus Rebbe who says there is, but two against one. Interesting, combine Kibbutz Mitzarif. The Marik brings a raya from here, but it can be Mitzarif, two opinions who really are opposed to each other in principle. But since they form a consensus in a very specific circumstance, right, it sort of happens to fall together and come together in consensus in this specific case for different reasons. You can sort of pair them up and consider them to be a majority, a rabbim, versus an opinion of a single shita, and you pass them like the majority. Interesting. Okay, that's Rav Papa's take on this machlekes. Oh, I just finished. So Ashvala Dodi. So in this specific case, they're both in agreement. Marloi Machshir, U Marloi Machshir, right? Each one. Rav Chiya says there's no Hechshir. Rav Shimon says there's no Hechshir. For different reasons, but ultimately they both hold there's no Hechshir. So now you have two against one. Against Rebbe, who says there is a Hechshir. Havalei Rebbe. So the Shita's Rebbe, that there is Hechshir in this case, is only a singular Shita, Chat, an individual, versus two that oppose him. Vein Dvarav Shel Echad Mokim Shnayim. And you don't consider the opinion of a Yachid against two. Ramashi Amar. He has a different understanding of the Machlokes and what Rabbi Chiya had in mind when he said Toilim. Toilim Le'ilam Mashma, he says, Toilim means it's an unsure situation. It's pending. It's an unknown. Rashi says, typically Toilim means we wait until Eliyahu Navi comes and informs us of the Halacha. We're not sure. Right? So he holds that the term toilin wouldn't be appropriate if it's just a matter of waiting a couple of seconds and seeing if the blood stays around till the end. That the lashon toilin means it's virtually an unknown. Oh, so what then is the pshat? Finiskaneich Rav Chiya, in this case where the blood got wiped away during the shechita, according to Rav Chiya, it's inherently unknown. It's an uncertainty. There's a safek in halacha how to treat it. But Rav Chiya said, Fokim Esapka, he's not sure how to view the act of shechita. Is the shechita an ongoing, continuous process, in which case this blood qualifies as dam shechita because it was squirted at the beginning of the act of shechita, the dam shechita, which is machshir, or do you say shechita only happens at the very end, and this dam was not there at the very end, so it doesn't qualify. It's not labeled as dam shechita. Right? He's not even sure. His suffix is, which approach to shechita do we adopt? So, the shechita started at the beginning of the cut, so this blood qualifies. Or perhaps shechita only happens at the end, in which case this blood that was wiped off by that time, it doesn't qualify. Umay toilin. What does he mean when he said toilin? He meant to say we're not sure. Loy oichlin. This vegetable is truma. You can't eat it. Perhaps it was hukshel kabel tuma. Now it touched tuma. It's tummy. But loy sarfin. Nor can you burn it. You can't outright burn something which may not be tummy if it's truma. Now that explains Rav Chiya. So, according to this approach, Rebbe is sure that it's machshir because shechita happens continuously from beginning to the end of the act of shechita. So, this blood qualifies as dam shechita. Rebbe is not sure; it's inherently an unknown. Now, Rabbi Oisha comes and says, "Well, at this point, we'll adopt Rabbi Chiya together with Rabbi Shimon, and there's no hechsher." My boy, benismach adi Rabbi Shimon. What does he mean when he says we're relying on Rabbi Shimon? How could you combine Rabbi Shimon, who says even dam of real shechita is not machshir, to Rabbi Chiya, who concedes that it would be machshir if it was really considered dam shechita, just not sure what it is? So basically the same question and answer as we said before, the Rabbi Shimon loy machshir, Rabbi Shimon holds it's not machshir at all. How can you compare that and combine it to Rabbi Chiya? Rabbi Chiya, it's a sveika, it's an unknown. Says the Gemara ultimately, in terms of practical application, they're both on the same page, leaning straight from you, shavu l'adadi, regarding the permissibility or the requirement to burn the truma. They're both on the same page. That you do not do that for different reasons, but ultimately you don't do that. Marloi Sarfe, he holds you don't burn it. Well, Marloi Sarfe, the other one also holds you don't burn it. Rabbi Shimon, because Dam of Shechita is not Machshir, there's no Tumah at all, no reason to burn, and Rabbi Chiya, because he's not sure. Ultimately, it's two. who refrained from burning, as opposed to Rebbe, who says burn. So it's one against two. Havalei Rebbe Chad. So Rebbe's opinion to burn is one opinion, one shita. Bein dvarav shelachad, makom shnayim. So it's individual versus a multitude. And you follow the Rabbi. Vachi kamar. So what did the Reb Chiya mean to say when he said toilin? Kigayin zois. For instance, this type of case, which is uncertainty, toilin. You let it hang. It's pending. Lo eichlin. You can't eat the pumpkin that touched tumah because it may be tameh. Lo yisarif, nor do you burn it. Okay, before we continue, in a nutshell, we had a case of dam that sprayed off the beginning of the shechita, landed on the las, wiped away, mid shechita, no longer there at the end of the shechita. So according to Reb Shimon, there's never hechsher by dam shechita. It's open and shut. According to Rebbe, there is hechsher here as well. According to Reb Chiya, we're not sure. Two ways to learn. Either it depends if it was there till the end of shechita, because shechita happens at the end, or he's not sure. Therefore, you don't eat, nor do you burn. But Reb Shimon ben Lakish, here comes a new discussion. On the topic of hechsher. Hechsher l'kabel tumah. As we're going to see later, there's something called Chibas HaKodesh, which is actually based on a pasuk, dearness, the extra dearness that Kodesh material has, enhances its ability to be Mekabel Tumah, even if there's no liquid content. It gives it completion and prominence. It elevates it to the status of a true, completed food, in which case it's open for Tumah even without having gotten wet. So here comes the question, to what extent? Okay, it can become tummy. Right? Dry carbon material touches tumah, it becomes tumah. But is that where it stops? It's only with respect to itself, its own ability to receive tumah, or perhaps is it really truly tumah to the extent that it can actually spread it and transmit it and carry it over to others via contact, like a regular tumah? Or do we say, no, it's limited to itself and it can't, you know, export it? Vayda b'shim ben lakish. Comes to Rish Lakish and he has a shayla. Tzrid. The dry granules in the a flour in the mincha, shamanachis, which never contacted liquid. So if tumah touched it, it becomes tumah. But to the point that it can actually turn around to be metame others, export it, make a rishon and a sheni, moinen by rishon and sheni. Do we count rishon and sheni? Meaning, does it carry on? Or ain moinen by rishon and sheni? Perhaps you can't count rishon and sheni. Ki mahani achibas hakodesh. Does the concept of Kodesh dearness, which makes it susceptible to tumah, only empowers or enables lefsuli gufe? To disqualify the actual carbon material, and it stops here. Lemimna be rishon v'sheni, but to go and carry over to the rishon to the sheni, no, that's. No, perhaps no difference. Tummy is tummy. And all principles, all rules are in effect. Let me try to prove this point from a Bryce. Pasuk says, Mikolo Echla Shayo Achel. So these are the psukim about Hechshel Kabotuma, right? All foods which can be eaten. Water lands on them, they become tummy. And we learn. Oichel, hababa maim hochsher. Right, food which had come into contact with water becomes hochsher lekabel tumah. Oichel, she'ini baba maim lehochsher. Otherwise, there's no contact with water, there's no hechsher. So Lazar basically just quoted a pasuk, right? That water has to be present to make hechsher. So let's assume, even when dry material is considered hukshar, because it's chibas hakodesh, kodesh material has that extra bit, but only it's limited to itself, it doesn't pass it on. It says the Gemara, Otu Reb Shimon Lakish Lesley. I think Reb Shimon Lakish didn't know that oichel above a mayim, that water has to come into contact with this oichel to be kabel tumah. It's a pasuk. What do you mean? Shimon Lakish, achim kim abayle. His question was like this. Chibas HaKodesh. This extra Chibas HaKodesh element, how far does it go? Ka'eichel above mayim dami. So is this dry material considered as though it was dunked into water? to the full extent of Heksher, to be Matame itself, to transmit to others, or Eloya, perhaps not. To affect itself, yes, but not to transmit it to others. So, what was Rabbi Elazar proving? I mean, of course, the halacha that Heksher is required, yeah, we all know that. The question was, how far does Chibas HaKadosh take you? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, Nami Turi Kroy Ka'amar. You're right, Rabbi Elazar wasn't just quoting a pasuk. He was making a point from the extra wording in the pasuk. And trying to use that to resolve Rish Lakish's shaila. Michte, look, Ksiv already told us earlier in the pasuk, Chiyutan Maimal Zera, water hits the Zera, it's susceptible to Tumah. Why does the pasuk have to repeat itself? Mikolo Echa Sheyachel, right? If the water hits the food, Lomli, what's the point of repeating it? We turn to him a base. Oh! Says Rabbi Elazar, apparently, the message is lav l'mute, apparently to minimize Chibas HaKodesh. That although Chibas HaKodesh enables the Kodesh to become tummy, even absence of liquid presence, but it's limited to its own disqualification, it can't transmit to others. And that was his message, that was his response to Rish Lakish. So, Dumar, not necessarily so. You can't really prove from that extra pasuk loy. Because the pasuk is needed. There are two categories of tumah. And the pasuk has to tell you that regarding both types of tumah, heksher is a prerequisite for tumah. But it's not talking about chibas hakodesh. It's speaking about standard, regular heksher system on regular material. Loy, chad b'tumas meis. One is to instruct that heksher is required to enable tumas meis. That only after liquid arrives on that food can the item be susceptible to the tumah of a maize, by touching a maize becoming tummy. V'chad b'tumah sharetz, one is regarding touching a lizard. They're both different types of tumahs. V'tzrichan, both are needed. You can't learn one from the other. But ashmin and tumas maize. Had the pasuk only informed us that by tumas maize, heksher is required, I would say, yeah. In a way, it's not so severe like the other tumah. Hasam v'dabay heksher. There, heksher is required to open the door to tumah. V'shem d'lo metamika b'chadasha. In contrast to a lizard, which where even just a bean size piece of material of metame by the mace, you need a full kazayas. You need more, so perhaps it's more lenient. Avlo sheres the metame bekadosh, I'm loyal by heksha, but by a lizard, which is metame even by a small amount, perhaps that because of that strictness, we suspend the heksha requirement as well. That's what it has to say by the sheres. On the other hand, v'yashmin and sheres, had we only mentioned sheres, oh, Mishum Dlaim Tami Tumas Shiva, because Tumas Sheretz, as we know, is just a 1 day affair, it's not a 7 day Tumah. So perhaps there, more conditions have to be met for it to work. Aval Meis, Tami Tumas Shiva, but by a Meis, which is a week long Tumah, more severe, more strict. Perhaps Heksher is not a requirement, it can be Metami even without a Tricha. That's why the Pasuk has to stress whether it's Tumas Meis, Tumas Sheretz, all these types of Tumas are treated equally regarding the requirement for that food to first get wet and then become tummy. Okay, so back to Rish Lakish's question. Standard procedure requires heksher. Chibas HaKodesh does not require heksher. To what extent? Just to be metame itself? Or perhaps even to transmit that tumah to others? Okay, Masiv Rav Yosef. So Rav Elazar was the one who says that the answer is no, right? He had a pasuk and then more sort of challenged it, but Rav Elazar held that we have a raya that by Chibas HaKodesh, it's only personal, it's not going to spread to others. Masa Rav Yosef, I have a question, Rav Yosef. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Rav Shimon Aimer, Hukshu B'Shchita. He says that, forget about the Dam of Shchita, the actual act of Shchita, which is a transformative act, which processes the animal into meat, that elevates its food status, complete food status, and makes it open for tumah. Hukshu b'shchit, despite the fact that there's no liquid, that will be machshir. So let's infer. Hukshu, the lashon hukshu would seem to indicate a full heksher in all respects. So the flesh can now receive tumah, transmit tumah, va'afilu l'mimne b'hurishen v'sheni, even to make rishen v'sheni. I mind, the question is why? How to that extent? This food had never entered, never come into contact with liquids. And everyone's assuming. So just like in this case, the act of shechita elevates it to food status despite the absence of liquids. And to what extent? To full extent. It can become tamei, it can transmit to others. Let's assume, likewise, by chibas hakodesh, which works even with the absence of liquids. It's not just a personal tumah, it can get transmitted and carried over as well. Amar Le Abaye, Abaye responds, well, here we're talking maybe midrabbanan. It's considered like a full heksher. Asu k'heksher mayim midrabbanan. Rabban, they consider as though it was heksher through the standard water system. But regarding Menat Torah, which is Reish Lakish's question, who's to say that the Torah empowers it to be metami others? Amar Abzeru Tashmai comes another raya. Habay Tzilagas, a fellow harvested his grapes, the intention of taking them to the alt, the grape press. He had no interest in the juice that's trickling off these grapes now, just getting lost on the way. So, is there heksher on those grapes? Shama Eimer Huksha, yeah, there's heksher. Rashi says, even though he's not really interested in the water, which in the juice, which is a prerequisite for heksher to work, you have to have some interest in the juice. But he says, there's a gzera, there's a concern, there are abonon, perhaps next time he's going to, you know, put them into waterproof containers to contain, to, you know, salvage the liquid. So, in all cases, we consider the fruit to be huksha. No, there's no heksher. Ultimately, he'll concede it to Shammai that there is heksher. And again, we're assuming that heksher means full-fledged heksher, the full package. It can become tummy, it can transmit tummy to others. And the question is, again, why? There's no real legal liquid here going on. There's no food coming into contact with liquid. This liquid, Rashi says, is lenichal. He's not interested. It was never designated for a specific purpose. So it doesn't really have the heksher power minat Torah. So once again, Amar Le Abaye, it's midrabbanan. Asu k'heksher mayim midrabbanan. Rabbanan considered like it was with water, and it's metami others. But again, minat Torah, you have no proof from here. Amar Le Rabbi Yosef, a recent response. Aminu lachano hukshur v'shchita. You know, I quoted that Mishnah that Reb Shimon regards the act of shchita as an act of heksher, and he called it hukshur v'shchita, which sounds like it's the full package, with the full power, the full ability for its own tumah and transmitting to others. But honestly, you're telling me asu k'heksher mayim. That's only the rabbanon, and the right. To me, it sounds like it's menat Torah, real heksher. And Reb Zeira likewise brought that second raya from the Mishnah, where it seems like Vamosle responded to him the same thing. Asu k'ach shemayim, tell me the rabbanon. Okay, fine. So, but haven't you resolved at least that aspect of the question? Reb Shimon Malkish Nami. So he had a question. Reb Shlokish had a question. How far does Chibas HaKodesh go? So at least now you know midrabbanon. It does carry on. As uker heksher mayim, they consider it like heksher mayim. So what's the question? Amar Leih says, you're right. Atu Reb Shimon ben Lakish litlois kamen boilei. Shimon Lakish knew that midrabbanon, it's makabel tuma, it transmits tuma, and in fact, if it touches something else, that other item is tamei midrabbanon, and that's called litlois. Like we said before, you can't burn it, but you can't eat it. It's sort of pending. Litlois kamen boilei. Think he had that question? No, that he knew. That was a given. Of course, midrabbanon. All these situations are full heksher, full tumah. Kikam Ebele, Lizstripe. His question was whether Menat Torah, Chibas HaKodesh, will receive and transmit tumah to the point that if it touches something else, that would be burnt, because it's considered fully tumah Menat Torah. That tumah will be burnt. And that was his question that we haven't really resolved. With the Rabbanon, yes, but with the Raisa, we're not sure. Okay. On this point, says the Gemara, okay, so you mean to say, Mechlal, you mean to say that the Chibas HaKodesh, the Raisa? Now, this whole concept of Chibas HaKodesh, giving the Kodesh material the ability to mekabel tumah despite the lack of liquid, is minat Torah. You just don't know to what extent. Was it just for itself to transmit to others? But it's a Torah principle. Menon, which pasuk? Where's the source for that? Ilim dechsev is from the pasuk va'basar she'igav b'chol tumah. It's talking about the basar of a karb and a shlamim. A touch of something which is tumah becomes tumah. Now let's analyze. Was there hechsher? Hi basar the iska shebe mai. Where was the hechsher on this basar? Either the discussion about dam, was it the blood during the shechita? Guess what? V'amar b'chia ba'abam b'yechanan. Only blood of non-kachim. It's going to be machshav, but not blood of kachim. It has a different function, different designation. It's not equated to water. Menag l'dam kachim she'ne machshav. How do we know the blood of a carbon is not machshav? Shenema loisach leno l'aretz tishpachenu kamayim. Don't eat blood. Blood is meant to be spilled out like water. So we have that equation between blood and water, which gives the blood the ability to be machshav, because it's considered a liquid like water. Well, guess what? Only blood which is equated to water. Regular, ordinary, mundane blood, but not blood of kachim, which is meant for the mizbeach, not meant to be poured out. Only blood which is meant to be poured out like water, yeah, that's machshav. Meaning ordinary blood of a regular animal, dam she'ein nishpach kamayim, but blood of a carbon ain't a machshav, it's not a machshav. So this blood won't be machshav. Had the meat become hukshar, ela deiskasha b'mashke beis mibachai. Perhaps the hechsher arrived through rinsing it in the meat in the kitchen they had in the beis hamikdash. Well, guess what? That's not either going to be machshav. V'orab yoyisim chenina mashke beis mibachai. The liquids found in the kitchen, loy dayan, not only shein dachan, not only are they clean, are they dachin, they're not going to be come tame, ela shein machshir, they're not even going to be machshir. V'chitema tergum adam, perhaps he just meant to say the blood is not machshir, because dam of carbon is not machshir, but the water is found there is machshir. No, but mashke kama, he said mashke, plural, all the liquids. So how did this meat become hukshar? Elala, this kasha b'chibas ha-kodesh. The only option is left is chibas ha-kodesh. That dearness, that elevated status, that gives it prominence and completion and food status. Says the Gemara, who says, v'dilma, perhaps we have another way that it got wet. Very plainly. Because Rabbi Domer Shmuel, kigoyin sh'ayishalei paro, sh'azichle shlom, he had this shlomim cow, v'viru b'nachal, he ran it through the stream, to ease in the flaying process, in the skinning process, shechted and he shechted. If I die, mashka tafeh chaleh, we still have, real liquid, real wet liquid on the skin, on the outside skin, and dripped on the meat. So perhaps that's how the meat got hukshah, regular water, elemasif. Rather, the proof of chibas hakodesh comes to the next part of the pasuk. So the pasuk later on says, v'habasar, v'habasar kol tohar yoichal basar. Extra word about basar, the rabbis ate some levoina. And even non-food items, firewood for the mizbeach, levoina, incense. Ate some levoina, b'ne'achil aninu, these items are edible? How could they be mekabel tuma? Only food is mekabel tuma. Oh, ela chibas ha-kodesh. It must be that the concept of chibas ha-kodesh elevates these items, machshulu, enables them, completes them, u'meshavilu oichal. Now they regard it like food. They're not really food, but it gives them the same prominence. What's special about food? It's edible. It's chash. It gives them prominence as though they're food. And they're now mekabel tuma like food. Achanami. So back to our story. Every kach of material, meat which had never been washed, despite the fact that it's lacking a formal hechsher process, it doesn't require that process. It's prominent. It's chash. It's complete on its own. Achanami chibas hakodesh machshat. Oh. So here's the source of Chibas HaKadosh. The question is, to what extent? Why? How do you understand this? We turn to the next Talmud. Perhaps Chibas HaKadosh only enables the actual material to receive Tumah. But to transfer it further, to make a Rishon V'Sheni, perhaps not that far. No, perhaps there's no difference. If it's Tumah, it's Tumah. Take it, we leave it on ourselves. So bottom line is, we have a pasuk of Chibas HaKadosh, Eitzim Levoina, come tell me, despite not being food, so we see Chibas HaKodesh. Gives it prominence, makes it like a full food item. Likewise, even without the Heksha process, it is susceptible to Tumah as well, to complete food, even without that liquid. And that's Min HaTorah. The question is, how far does it go? Is it just to disqualify itself, or even to transmit further? But certainly, Midr Rabbanon, we have several rayas that Midr Rabbanon, of course, it will carry on. The question just was, its ability, Min HaTorah. All the best to you, and Hatzlachah.